Illinois had a change in law. I forget exactly when that was, but there was basically a homeless bill of rights that passed. And part of that included a means of making it easier, or really making an option for individuals that don't have a permanent address to be able to vote. Can you tell me about that?
Are you talking about the motor voter, where you can, when you go try to get an ID and they register you at the same time if you say yes?
Oh, yeah, there's that, and I think that was federal. But then I think there was also, didn't Illinois pass a homeless bill of rights, and that helped the effort for registering homeless individuals?
Yeah, well, I've been here since May. I'm not really sure, but I can find that out for you and get all that.
Okay.
But I know for a fact, because I was homeless before and staying in shelters and everything else, but basically you can register while living in a shelter and not necessarily have a place called home, but that you can use that as your place of residency because you actually do stay there and you can get mail there, which I did in the past. So coming into the coalition, I knew that, and when the voters registration drive came up, I asked if I could be a part of that. And our goal basically is to go into these sites that we've already built relationships with, strong relationships, long-lasting relationships for years, and make sure that we advocate as well as do organize. But we feel like they have the power of their story, and through voting, it's also an option to express their power as well, because everybody has the right to do it. So we didn't want to not have a voters registration drive, because we felt like these voices need to be heard, and they can be heard through their power of voting.
You know, Keith, why don't you go ahead, and can you tell me some more about yourself and when you were homeless and how that worked living in a shelter? Because sometimes you are, as you noted, getting mail there, staying for a while. Other times shelters are more of a temporary stay. Are people still able to register to vote there? Yeah. Can you explain?
Yes. It was for me because I had struggled with addiction. And in the early 2000s, and it came to a point where I had to make a decision. Do I want to live like this and die, or do I want to make a difference? So through my last relapse, I stayed at this shelter that's no longer, well, it's called Safe Haven now. But I was able to grasp, I guess, the ideal of fighting back, because I didn't know what fighting back was, through systemic problems and public policy, and just feel like I was being mistreated or treated unfairly, because I did have a problem. But through that, I was introduced to this world of organizing through the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, because they were visiting the shelter that I was living in. That was back in 2006. And when they came to visit, they asked me if I wanted to get involved with doing lobbying work, going down to Springfield and talking to legislators about my story and how I'm trying to get out of homeless situations. And it helped me to understand the scope of the way the legislative bodies work and making decisions on who gets the money, who doesn't get the money, who gets the services, and who doesn't get the services. So it kind of helped me grow up faster, but at the same time, it pissed me off because a lot of places were getting closed down where I knew we needed services there. It affected me in the past, but I know how it's affecting us now through not having a state budget. A lot of these services are getting cut or totally eliminated because of the lack of funding, the lack of a passable budget from the governor. And for the last 10 years, I've been trying to get more involved with the homeless population, meaning me and my peers, I would call them, because I have to educate them on what's going on out here. And working with CCH allows me an opportunity to learn more about the political side of things. But at the same time, I'm at the shelters talking to the individuals and learning the personal side of the stories that really impact the individuals and families. So this is my lifestyle now. I don't call this a job. This is the way I live. And I give back by going back into these shelters, talking about not just my story, but their stories, and letting them know that their story has power behind it. And those voices that they think they don't have, they do have. And you can voice that verbally, by letters, by writing, and by voting. And a lot of homeless people give up. They don't think there's a chance in hell to make it through that situation. But I'm here to tell them that you can. Look at me. I'm a witness. So I love this work. I think it's what I'm supposed to be doing for the rest of my life.
Wow. So do you have any goals in terms of how many people you're hoping to register before November 8th?
Yeah, our goal was 300, and right now we're at 236 with a whole week left. So what I did was I asked some of the leaders in the shelters to get involved. And I had 8 leaders, and some of the other organizers have their leaders actually helping us in the registration process. So we're doing it, but we taught them how to do it too. So they're actually getting people registered as well, and they feel a part of the process. They feel like they've given back to the society and voiced their opinions and their thoughts to other people that so they can do the same thing. So the team that I've worked with, we've produced over 180 registrations alone. So with the other organizers, I'm not sure where those numbers are going to end up. We're going to surpass 300 with no problem.
What are some of the challenges for getting people to register to vote that don't have a permanent address, that are homeless or perhaps struggling with addiction? I mean, in general, sometimes getting people to register or interested and actually, once they are registered, filling out a ballot and voting is a challenge if you look at rates across the United States of voter participation. Are there any particular challenges that you see with this population?
The lack of knowledge. Before I found out that this was an easy way to do it, I didn't have a clue as to how to get registered other than going down to the Board of Election. And that's how I initially got registered some years ago. But through the advocacy work that we're doing, we're educating individuals and families in these shelters so they can actually get the information up front from us, and we can register them now right there on the spot. So it was more like an educational piece that we put in through the curriculum of the organizations that we work with, and it's because of that partnership that it works. It's efficient. And guys and ladies don't have to go far to register or vote because it's in that same area where they actually live in at that time. And if they decide to move, we can show them how to get their address changes on their registration for the next election. So it's an ongoing process, but we kept it real simple. We educated them on the ways to vote, who's eligible to vote, and when to vote. I mean, register. So election is coming up on November 8th, and we have all the way until the 12th to get these 300 folks registered. So I think we're doing great because we already had those relationships established with those individuals. And through our prior meetings and gatherings and actions that we've had, we've actually been promoting this for months, letting them know we're going to have folks we want to get folks registered. So leaders were already engaged and in charge of saying yes, and they were actually inspired to want to vote for the first time. And some had to change their addresses, some changed their names, and they were basically saying, yeah, when that registration process comes up, sign me up. I'm interested. I need to vote because they really feel how important this election is this year.
And as you've touched on, particularly because of the budget impasse, in what ways have you seen the lack of funding manifest in Chicago? You said a decline in services, fewer...
Yes.
Can you
shut down their services. Yeah, shut down their services. And folks that are on the street are being pushed to other locations that are already filled. So it's bringing more people to the street. And it's cutting a lot of mental service programs. Some places have actually closed down completely. And these folks are actually roaming around the street because they have nowhere to go. And these are organizations that were fully funded by the state, and they paid their staff, and all the funding that came from that took care of the operational expenses as well. So I don't know much about it, but Lutheran Social Services was a great example of their entire organization shutting down because of the state budget. And some of the other ones, like Maryville Academy, they've closed their doors to some of their entities as well. And I hear Catholic Charities may have to take some hits as well. So these organizations and institutions are for people that are trying to fight back. And if they're trying to fight back and they're closing places down, it's going to make the struggle that much harder. So, and places are taking extra people because of that situation. And once the weather changes, it's going to be interesting to see what happens next because it's getting ready to get cold outside, and that's usually when a lot of these places are just full to the from front to back, no bed space or whatever. So it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like in the next couple of months.
Yes, you know, Keith, when was the first time that you voted and registered? What was that like for you?
I don't remember. that's
maybe
it was
you
like
were
for
a teen. I don't know. How old are you?
I'm 50.
You're 50. Okay. We're just talking
my
over
point
the phone.
Is, I wasn't really that concerned about things because I wasn't that engaged. But I knew I had to vote. I had a right to vote and pass my voice my thoughts on who should win. But now it's got more. I guess for me, I have more, it's more substance behind it because I'm dealing with a whole population of people. That were just like I was, that are just like I was, that they're like that now, and I need to let them know. No, it really means something. You need to know who you're voting for and why. It makes a big difference, at least for me. I know now it does.
Well, does your Get Out the Vote effort involve? You're going to, is it just shelters, or are you, walking the streets
no.
where some people maybe set it up,
well,
and what do you say to them? Yeah.
We have six organizers. We are organizing schools, churches, colleges, shelters, community-based organizations, programs that assist with homeless services, food pantries, and really anybody that's trying to help the effort to end homelessness. We have relationships already established that we go to our partners and say, hey, we're going to have a drive. We can't do this without your support, so we want to know if we can come in and take care of the folks that need to get registered. And we develop new relationships out of this. Doors are actually opening as we speak because we've actually started the process of getting folks registered. And for example, Salvation Army, I went to one location, and now I'm being invited to three other ones. So, and I'll be at those locations this week. So so it's a whole lot of things kind of combined in that. And we're excited. We're really feeling fortunate enough to have these relationships to get this done. And, I personally thought 300 was a little low, but that's just my thinking. But come to find out, it's a pretty good number.
Well, because do you have people that say, I don't have time for this. I think our politicians are all corrupt. I don't like any of the choices.
Oh, you mean the voters?
Yeah, when you're trying to get people to register.
Mm-hmm. I hear that a lot, but... my job is to educate them as to what happens if you don't vote. You know, basically saying if you don't vote, you're basically allowing the enemy to get in and win, no matter who it is. So I don't tell them who to vote for or who not to vote for, but it's you're given right to cast your opinion about who should take that position. And a no vote means you don't care who runs this country, and you should care. I try to agitate people to that degree to make them want to care about who's responsible for taking care, not just the country, but the community, the state, the neighborhood, and, the United States as a whole.
From the top of the ballot on down. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your speaking with me.